The scripture reading this morning comes from John's second letter to the people of Corinth. Oh, thank you. Chapter 11, verses 23 to 33. I'm actually going to start just a couple of verses before that because I think it gives a little bit of context that helped me understand a little bit what was going on. So this is about Paul's sufferings as an apostle. If anyone dares boast about something, and I'm talking like a fool, I will be just as daring. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they Christ's servants? I sound like a madman, but I am a better servant than they are. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more times. I've been whipped much more, and I've been near death more often. 5 times I was given the 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans, and once I was stoned. I've been in 3 shipwrecks, and I once spent 24 hours in the water. In my many travels, I have been in danger from floods and robbers. In danger from fellow Jews and from Gentiles. There have been dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilds, dangers on the high seas, and dangers from false friends. There has been work and toil. Often I have gone without sleep. I have been hungry and thirsty. I have often been out without enough food or shelter or clothing. And not to mention other things, every day I am under the pressure of my concern for all the churches. When someone is weak, then I feel weak too. When someone is led into sin, then I am filled with distress. If I must boast, I will boast about things that show how weak I am. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, blessed be his name forever, knows that I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas placed guards at the city gates to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through an opening in the wall, and I escaped from him. May God add his blessing to the scriptures, reading of the scriptures.
Amen. Good morning. So, as you know, that few weeks ago, we have started a sermon series under the title, More or Less. And it talks about that how there are individuals in this world, they seem to have more than other people. And sometimes when we talk about it, we feel that, hey, we have more than everybody else, and we are constantly responsible for other people. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to go or that's the way it means. What it means that sometimes we have more resources and we should pass more resources or resources to somebody who would need. But there are individuals, dear people of God, that they are more committed in their prayer life. I have seen that. I have seen that which meets the Korean church which meets here. They pray every morning. And I often request them that maybe that is your strength, maybe that is your resource, and can you please pass on that resource to us? Can you please pray for us? We might have something which we can share with you, but then you have something which you can share with us. And in the book which we read, more or less, in this chapter 6, author talks about his wife's decision to go to work, and she decided to walk to her work. Instead of buying a car, instead of using a car to her work, she decided to walk to the work. And the reason she decided, because she wants to take care of environment. She believes that if we walk, it is good for health. Not only is good for health, but it is also will help us to save environment. It will have a less carbon footprints, And so again, that might be the reason, or that is the reason why she wants to do that. But in the process, as she's walking to her work, she is meeting new people. She is having conversation with people with whom she would not have otherwise. And not only she is doing the task which she wants to do, but in the process, she's gaining a lot. In other words, she has a conviction, and based on her conviction, she has chosen her lifestyle. She decided that I am going to walk to my work. You and I know that it's not that easy all the time, because sometimes it rains, sometimes it is cold, sometimes in Atlanta it's snowing, sometimes it gets dangerous. So there are so many hurdles on the process as she has decided to follow her conviction. Yesterday, I happened to visit John, and John, he's here this morning. I happened to visit him and his family as they celebrated, or they invited those who support his cause of running as a city council in Sunnyvale. And I was thinking about him, and I'm glad he's here, so I'm not speaking about him when he's not here. That might not be good, but he's here. And I was thinking about it, that many people at his age or his time, like, hey, you know what? Why can't I just enjoy my life? I did my work. I made enough money. Now it is time for me to relax and enjoy my life. But instead of that, he decided to run for the office, which he believes that eventually will have an influence in city, in Sunnyvale. Yes, he has to go door to door. He has to knock on the doors of people and ask for their support. When you run for a political office, sometimes there are slander comes your way which you never expected. There are stories created by other people which you never experienced in your life. And so it's not an easy task. But he has a conviction. And he decided that, you know what? If I am just convicted about things and if I don't put my action into those convictions, it has absolutely no meaning. Today we just read the scripture about St. Paul. When he came to Christ in a miraculous way, he realized that once upon a time, he was enemy of Christ. Once upon a time, he was enemy of Christian. But when he got converted, when he saw the vision of Christ, he realized that how God is so gracious, how Jesus is so gracious to him. And he realized that this message has to go out to the people. I can't just keep this secret for myself. And on that day, dear people of God, he decided to become the apostle of Christ. He decided to become the missionary for Christ. And then, of course, we hear his account of suffering this morning. How many times he was flogged. How many times he went to the prison. How many times people insulted him. How many times he became enemy of his own people. And eventually he died for Christ. And of course, the supreme example of dear people of God is Jesus Christ himself. In just a few weeks, we are going to celebrate Christmas. It's a reminder of the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son on the cross so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Amen? Amen. And that came out of his conviction. See, one thing in all these examples, dear people of God, is that there are individuals we have in our midst, in our history, in future, are the people with convictions. They believe in something. And they know the fact just to believe in something doesn't do any good to anyone. If I believe in something, I got to go after it. I have to change my life in a way that I support my convictions. The question I have for us this morning is, what are your convictions this morning? What do you believe in? And are you ready to live your life based on your conviction? Or is it just a nice luxury once in a while we just throw it on Facebook and then never care about it anymore? Christian life is life of conviction. It's a life of commitment. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life which would govern in a way that you might go through challenges, but at the end of the day, you know that you ran your race, and you did what you believed in. Amen? And dear people of God, I invite you to think about your conviction. What are you looking for in this life? And I want to share two simple words with you. Number one, care. Care for something, care for an environment, care for church, care for immigrants, care for poor, care for sick, care for somebody in this life than just ourselves. There was a time I used to live for three people, me, myself, and I. How many of you know those guys? Everything I want to do is for these three people. Me, myself, and I. And then I realized that's a selfish way to live this life. Because I have been given so much by God. There are people in my life who have sacrificed a great deal so that I would be at the place where I am. And if I don't do my part, if I don't care for somebody else, something else apart from me, I'm just being pure and simple, selfish, and self-centered individual. And when I go from here, nobody will ever miss me because I haven't thought about anybody else. I haven't done for anybody else anything. I invite you this morning, dear people of God, to care for something, to care for somebody, to care for some conviction. And it is your conviction. It is your call from your God to yourself. But let it be more than yourself. Amen? You might say that, Pastor Rajiv, you know what? I am a good person. I come to church once in a while. Whenever I get time, I pray. And I never insult anybody. I'm always nice to people. Once in a while, I smile to other people even. And so, why do I have to care for other people? I want to give you two reasons. Reason number one, the story comes from the book of Genesis. If you remember, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Do you remember that? And one day they started to fight out of nowhere, and eventually Cain killed his brother Abel. And the scripture says, and God came down and started to have conversation with Cain. And one question he asked, hey, where is your brother? And do you remember his answer? Am I my brother's keeper? Right? Am I my brother's keeper? In other words, God, why do I care? Why are you asking me? I have absolutely no idea where is he. I don't care for him. I am not his keeper. Yes, I know that we live in a wild world. We live in a very difficult place. But guess what? He's on his own, I am on my own, and I am not my brother's keeper. And once in a while, that question comes to me, dear brother and sisters. Where is your brother? I don't know. We haven't called each other for the last 3 months, so I don't know where is he right now. Am I my brother's keeper? He should live his life. I should live my life. He should work hard. I will work hard. He will do his thing. I will do my thing. And we have absolutely no connection with one another. The answer is yes, Rajiv. Yes, Cain, you are your brother's and sister's keeper. Yes, we are responsible for one another. Amen? And I know that is a weak amen because no, Rajiv, I don't want to take other responsibility. My life is difficult. I just want to be myself and I and me. I can't take care of anybody else. Maximum I can go is to my immediate family, my wife and my kids and my... That's it. You're asking me to be responsible for other people in the church? Like, come on, are you crazy or what? How can I be responsible for anybody else? Because, dear people of God, as the disciples of Christ, we are our sisters and brothers' keeper. I know it might be news for some of us. But that is what we are. Because they will keep us when we will be in a difficult time. When we lose job, they'll come alongside us. When we go through difficult time, they will visit us. When we are lonely, they will come and hold our hands. So many of you told me in this church that how in your difficult journey the church has stood with you. And so, yes, dear people of God, we are our sisters and brothers' keeper. The second one is, you know, the early church. If you remember, like just within 100 years after Jesus went back to heaven, within 100 years, the church grew so fast. And once in a while, we wonder like, hey, there must have been some magic behind it. There must have been some amazing people behind it. No, they were as simple as like you and me. But one of the things they had in the early church, dear people of God, the way they cared for one another, the way they took care of one another. And I just want to read just a few things from here, which is like about the early church. So not only we are keeper of our brothers and sisters, but also like we see how they care for one another. That was the statement given by outside in the church. In the period following the apostolic age, there was an exuberant caring and sharing on the part of Christians that was unique in antiquity. Julian the apostate, an enemy of Christ, admitted the godless Galilean fed not only their own poor, but ours too. He's talking about Christian, and you know, from the Roman side, he thinks that these are godless. They don't follow our God, and so they are godless, they are nobody. But he says, guess what? These guys are amazing. They not only fed their own poor people, but they also take care of our people. Tertullian wrote that the Christian deed for love were so noble that the pagan world confessed in astonishment, see how they love and care for one another. The reason, dear people of God, God wants us to take care of one another, because that is our main function as disciples of Christ. How they care for one another, how they love one another, how they forgive one another, how they support one another, how they walk alongside one another when people go through difficult time. Guess what? As a Christian, we will go through challenges like everybody else. We live in the world with everyone else. But as a Christian, dear people of God, God has invited us to walk with one another, to talk with one another, to support one another. And when people from outside, when they will see this, they'll realize like, wow, guess what? There are selfless people even in Bay Area. That there are people who are ready to go out and support other people, not because they are expecting anything in return, but because that's what they learned from their scripture, because that's what they learned from their Christ example. And that's what they're going to live their life about. Let us care. The second one is, let us share. You see, when we do good work, sometimes we feel that, hey, I thank God that I'm able to do this good work, but I'm just going to keep it for myself. I don't want to tell to anybody. Because as soon as I tell this good work to somebody else, people think that I'm just making myself big. I'm just thinking about me. I'm just praising myself. And that's not a Christian way to live. And amen. I agree with you that that's not a Christian way to live. However, dear people of God, there are two reasons we need to share what God is doing through us. Number one, so that we would glorify God through our life. Amen. Now, you know that in almost all my sermons, I tell a story about me. And I'm sure once in a while you go home like, you know what, this guy is so much about himself all the time. And, you know, I get it, you might misunderstand, but you will always notice that I try to bring glory to God. Amen? Because think about, God has done so much work in my life. God has done tremendous work through me. And if I don't share with you any of the story, like, you have absolutely no clue what God is doing in my life. And you will realize, like, you know what? His life is as boring as mine. But that is not the case, dear people of God. Your life is not boring, and my life is absolutely not boring. And the reason I constantly tell this story is to let you know that God can even work in my life. God can even use me. If God can use me, how much more possibility is for you that God would use you? Amen? Let us share our story. Let us not hide those stories. Let us not hide God's good works in and through us. The second reason why you need to share your story is to encourage other people. Is to encourage other people. Because, you know, you would realize and I would realize that we are very similar in so many ways. But when I find a way to glorify God, when I try to work God's way in lives of the people, you would realize, like, you know what? Hey, Reggie, I can do that. When you tell your story, it seems like it's not that difficult. I can definitely do that. If it means to go once in a week, actually to go and clean up, you know, somebody's yard, I can do that, definitely. If it means to just go out and visit people in the hospital, oh yes, absolutely, I can do that. And that's the reason, dear people of God, I want you to share your story. So number one, to bring glory to God. And second one is to encourage other people. And when we care for somebody and where we serve with somebody, there's an ongoing tremendous blessings you will experience and I will experience. Let me tell a story and finish it. So a few months ago, as you know, it was my first time to go to SSP, Sierra Service Project. When I went for it, I had absolutely no clue where I was going to. But then I was asked, and so eventually I went for this place, and we had few kids with us from our church, and also Tom was with us, the Saint Tom from Trustee, he was with us. And so we went, and I saw tremendous transformation in our youth as soon as we went to the site, as soon as we reached to the site. I saw that people who were always thinking about themselves once upon a time, or just few hours ago, as soon as they saw other people their age, they started to talk with other kids their age. They started to mingle so easily, not realizing that that person comes from a very different background, but those things didn't make any more difference. They wanted to know one another. They wanted to hang out one another. The second thing, on that evening, we were asked as a Good Samaritan church that our duty on that evening was to wash the dishes of the people who just ate, like, and it was almost 200 of them at that place. And so we had to wash the dishes of all of this, and I was realizing, well, guess what? Reggie, you got stuck again with the dishes. Not so. All of our youth were so ready to jump in to really take up that task and wash the dishes. And as we were doing it, it was one of the most fun experiences. We were laughing and we were washing dishes and we were playing and all that. Like, wow, the transformation I could see in them within just few hours as they realized that I am committed here for a week to care for somebody apart from me. And that idea itself, that knowledge itself changed them. And I realized how imperative, dear people of God, that as a church, at least few times in our lifetime, that we would go out and serve somebody else. Amen? Amen? Somebody who's total stranger, somebody who might have nothing to do with us, and we just said, we are here to serve you. That's it. No string attached. I am here, asked by God, to find somebody to serve, and here I come. Here I come to care. And me and Kelsey, we were so fortunate to be the part of the Hispanic family. And this family was so gracious, so amazing, that on the first day after the work, they prepared such a grand feast for us for the lunch. And we had tremendous lunch. And when we went and told this story to other people, this is like, Rajiv, it has never happened in the history of SSP that we would actually get good lunch. I mean, usually we get peanut butter and sandwich, right? How many of you know that, those who've gone to SSP? Like, oh man, you get all this like burrito and tortillas, like, whoa, that's amazing. But one thing happened as we were eating just before food. I said, okay, let us pray. And so we hold over each other's hand and we prayed. And this particular family, in that family, there was never a prayer took place. And so they were so touched. They said, you know what? This is the first time ever anybody prayed at the table. And we are so moved, so touched. And so next day we go, and again there's a big feast, and we are ready to eat. And then this time I tell somebody like, hey, if anybody feel like praying, feel free to pray. And you know, these guys are like 15 to 18 year old kids, so none of them wanted to pray. And so we were all sitting there, and this person, this girl from the family who was so moved yesterday, and she said, you know what, I want to pray. Remember, she has never prayed in her whole life. But because she saw an example yesterday, she wanted to pray. And she did the most amazing prayer for food I have ever heard. And on the third day, again, there's a feast, there's a lot of food. And the next day, she comes and said, you know what? Guys, when you pray today for lunch, can you also pray for my mom? Because she's going to go for surgery in 2 days. And we are so scared. Can you pray for her? And we all laid our hands on her and we prayed. You see, when we care for somebody, when we just want to go and paint somebody's house, dear people of God, we not only do that, but we influence their life in a way that we leave them with the God and God's presence and prayer, which will have a lasting impact on their life. You and I serve people in a godly way. I would never imagine the fact that how it would influence them in years to come. We talk about saint, and we have Joy here. She is a saint among us. And last year, she gave me a letter. She showed me a card, which she received from her student. You know, so imagine like how many years ago that student, you know, she was teaching. But after all these years, this student remembered that Joy was the person in my life, a school teacher, which made a tremendous effect. And after all these years, 50, 60 years, I want to still remember her goodness, and I'll make sure that I'll send her a card. And I'm sure when she went to that work on that day, you know, the kids like Joy and Barbara and all, they must have fought on that morning. And she must have gone in like, oh man, again, I'm going with such a challenge again. But then when she went, when did she work, when did she care for somebody else, that had influenced that student's life after 50, 60, 70 years. And she's receiving a thank you note. And so, dear people of God, I just want to encourage you this morning. Care for somebody else and share your story. You would never know how you would influence somebody's life and how it would change their destiny forever. Let us close our eyes and pray. Loving God, you invite us to work with you. You invite us to build your kingdom with you. And this morning, you invite us to care for somebody else apart from us. Care for a cause. Care for individuals. Care for a group of people where we can live our life sacrificially. That when we care for somebody, it will change the way we spend our money, the way we spend our time, and the way we spend our resources. Also, Lord, help us to share the blessing. As we are going to just sing in a few weeks, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. You invite us to share this good news from the mountaintop and let people know that even though I'm nobody, God can use me, and how much more God can use you. So that through our experience, people might get insight in the way they would live their life and structure their life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.